Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Community Health Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. I want to welcome you this morning to the show. And today's guest is Dr. Meredith Hellstern. Good morning, Dr. Hellstern.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How was your holiday?
Oh, busy.
Right?
Always yes.
Busy. And, you know, even in your daily job, you're very busy, right?
Tis the season.
Yep. Because you are a pediatrician.
I am.
Right? And mm-hmm. You practice out of the Wayne Memorial Pediatric Offices of the Honesdale and the Waymart area, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. And how long have you been with us?
I've been here more than 10 years now, which seems unreal, but I've been in the area that long, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. You know, it does seem like kind of yesterday that you started. And when you said 10 years, I was like, wow, yes, I remember when you were here. And so, you know, again, thank you for being on the show.
Sure.
And so today we're going to talk about RSV, winter illness, and vaccines. Oh, my.
Oh, my, indeed.
Right?
Yes.
It makes me think of those lions and tigers and bears.
Yes.
Oh, my, right?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, you know, we're in that time of year. It's wintertime illness season, right?
It
is. As we want to call it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what illnesses are out there and like, what are you seeing? What's making people sick?
So, influenza is always around. So seasonal influenza or flu is always around. COVID doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. And there's plenty of other viral things that are floating around. Adenovirus, enterovirus, parainfluenza, respiratory virus, metapneumovirus, lots of things are floating around right now.
Yeah, my head's spinning right now with all those big words and, you know, illnesses and stuff like that. And, you know, can you tell if someone has one of them? Like,
it's pretty hard to tell, to be honest with you, for most of them. And they all have very similar symptoms. So cough, mm-hmm. congestion, runny nose, fever, sneezing, achiness, not feeling well, no appetite, that kind of thing. There are tests for some of them. So there's tests out there for flu and for COVID at most doctor's offices. And I think those are pretty standard things. You can test for the other ones, but really, since we don't change the management very much, a lot of the time we don't test for mm-hmm. those other specific viruses. So,
right. Yeah. You kind of rule out maybe the most obvious ones and then treat accordingly, mm-hmm. correct?
Sure.
So what should people do to protect themselves from these illnesses?
I think it can't be emphasized enough. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, wash your kids' hands, wash the hands of anybody who comes in contact with you. If you know somebody that's sick, stay away from them. If you are sick, stay home and relax and get better. Getting plenty of rest, I think, is really mm-hmm. important, which is really hard to do this time of year. Drinking lots of water, and all those things grandma taught us were good for our health. Some people, I think, might consider masking in some more public settings. So at the grocery store, when you go to the doctor's office, even in your workplace, depending mm-hmm. on where you work, just to protect yourself, especially if you're worried about catching any of those for any reason. So
right, and especially if maybe you're in a compromised situation as well,
sure.
right?
Yeah, and I think the biggest and most important thing is probably get yourself vaccinated against things you can get vaccinated for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah.
You know, vaccines. So, you know, speaking of vaccines, you know, what's the deal with flu vaccine? What about COVID?
Yeah. Flu vaccine is pretty standard stuff at this point. I think most people are pretty familiar with it. So there's two antigens for flu A and there's two antigens for flu B in the flu shot this year, just like in the last several years. We haven't seen a ton of flu activity yet, but it has definitely picked up. In fact, mm-hmm. Just in my office this week, I think we saw 4 or 5 cases already. So, you know, it's definitely picking up and that's only going to get worse as people spend more time together indoors and they're shaking hands and hugging and kissing and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just for reference, there have already been 8,000 hospitalizations for flu and almost 500 deaths from flu just this season. And the season really only got started in September.
Wow. I know you can't see my face, but like my jaw just dropped with that one.
Yeah.
Like I can't believe that's been that
it's
many.
A lot right? already. Yeah.
Right. And you know, you talked about flu, but COVID is also very rampant, right? Still?
It's definitely picking back up. We're seeing a couple of cases every week, I think, just in my offices alone. And I'm sure the adult world is seeing the same thing. So it's definitely here. And there is a vaccine for it. So it's an updated version. It covers the more recent strains that we've seen, so the Deltas and the Omicrons and things like that. So I think COVID vaccine now is going to be sort of like getting a flu shot. We have to get an updated one every year to protect mm-hmm. ourselves. It's a little simpler than it used to be. I know when those vaccines first came out, there was a lot of confusion about what kind do I get and how many boosters do I need and do I need this or a bivalent or whatever. Most people, if they've not had any COVID vaccine, they might need two doses, but most people, the vast majority of people, will be considered up to date with just a single COVID vaccine this year. So
right. And I like to say, you know, hear you say that this year.
So, yeah.
You know, recommended like on a yearly basis.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's also a lot of talk you hear on the news about RSV.
Yeah.
Now, RSV is a longer name, right?
Yeah. It's respiratory syncytial virus, which I have to work very hard and concentrate on saying. That's why we call it RSV.
That's why I had you say it.
Yeah. So it's a really common respiratory illness that floats around the area with very similar symptoms to all the rest of them. Cough and congestion and fever, sore throat, not eating, not sleeping well, that kind of stuff. So most of the time, just like with flu and other things, it gets better with some symptomatic care. But occasionally people get really ill from this particular virus. And it's a really common cause for hospitalization, both in very young children, so kids under the age of one, and also in older adults. And the trouble is that we can't really predict who is going mm-hmm. to be more severe and need to be cared for in the hospital. So,
right, mm-hmm. right. I know, like, you know, in the past, I mean, in my mind, I used to think that RSV was a lot just in children. And
yeah.
But over the last couple of years, we have noticed that more seniors, older individuals
Absolutely.
Are getting it. And so now there's a vaccine for them as well, right?
There is. I think a lot of those seniors are unfortunately getting the illness. You know, kids are most commonly the ones who get it. And most kids get it by the time they're two or three. But a lot of the seniors will see their grandkids or they'll see, you know, the neighbor kids come over or they'll go to church and see the children at church and pick it up from them.
Uh-huh.
So it's definitely a more common thing. So it's really important if you're going to be around children, which most of us are, I think.
Right.
It's really important to get yourself vaccinated if you fall into one of the categories that has a vaccine available.
Yeah. So like for children, is there an age guideline for the RSV vaccine? As well as adults?
Yeah. So for, I'm going to break it down into three groups.
Okay.
So there is a vaccine available for babies. There's a vaccine available for pregnant women. And there's a vaccine available for people over the age of 60. So some of our older population. So in kids, anybody under the age of 9 months is eligible to get an RSV vaccination. Some toddlers, if they have certain qualifying medical conditions, but everybody under the age of 9 months. So every infant from birth. The biggest problem with it right now, unfortunately, the supply from the manufacturers has been tough. So there is vaccine available, but it's hard to find mm-hmm. a place that has it in stock. So I think for right now, most offices are sort of trying to target the kids who might have a little bit more of a higher risk. So kids that have immune system problems or kids that were born prematurely, babies that require oxygen or anything like that. We're getting updates almost daily about when we're going to get things back in stock in the offices. Mm-hmm. And I think my biggest take home for that is that if you go to an office and they have it in stock, get it. Because you never know if they're going to run out. So don't waste your time. And if you want it, then do it if they've got it.
Right. Don't say, oh, I'll wait till next week. Because when you go back, it may not be available at that time.
Yeah. One other thing. So there's a vaccine available for pregnant women. So since we haven't had the baby vaccine availability, one way to protect the very young infants is for moms to be vaccinated with an RSV vaccine. So if mom has been vaccinated and then delivers the baby actually has attained some of that immunity. So those antibodies will pass through the placenta. And they actually recommend that those babies whose moms got a vaccine don't need a supplemental vaccine for themselves. So since there's a shortage of the kid one,
right.
If you're pregnant and expecting a baby, this is the time to do it.
Right.
So,
right.
They usually recommend it between 32 and 36 weeks okay. of pregnancy, which is about the same time that your doctor is probably going to recommend another vaccine called Tdap. That's for tetanus and diphtheria and pertussis, which is used to be a pretty big cause for cough and congestion and things like that in young children. But with that vaccine, we've cut way back on the amount of pertussis we're seeing in young kids. So.
And so you're saying the pregnant mom can get that vaccine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that immunity may transfer.
Yeah, it's going to transfer from the placenta through to the baby. So the baby will be born with immunity already, which is a great thing.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
See, I love doing these shows because I always learn something new.
Yeah.
You know, we did. We talked a lot about vaccines today, you know, and there's been a lot in the news about, you know, vaccines in the last year. Is there really a trend of people not getting vaccines for themselves or their children?
You know, the unfortunate thing is that vaccines are really the victims of their own success. Mm-hmm. So most of our listeners probably haven't ever seen somebody who has tetanus or polio or measles or something like that. And that's because we're preventing them with the vaccines that we're giving young people and older people too. So most people who get these diseases, yeah, they do have a mild illness, but there's no way to know who's going to progress to a more severe illness, who's going to have complications or recover, you know. So I think most people my age and older would have had chicken pox or at least knew somebody who did have chicken pox. And many of the people in that same bracket also have had shingles. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's had shingles, me included, can tell you just how painful a disease it can really be. You lose time out of work. You can't see your kids because you can't see your young grandchildren because you could pass that virus and you could transmit it to them and give them chickenpox. So, you know, as an example, if you get the chickenpox vaccine for the kids, not only do they not get chickenpox, they don't get shingles later on in life. So to save them from that debilitating thing, I think is definitely a good idea.
Yes. I have 3 children and 2 of the 3 had
chickenpox.
And so the third one got her vaccine.
Yes, absolutely.
She's older now, but yes. And, you know, even with the shingle vaccine that you're talking about, so many of my friends in my age group are getting it because I did have shingles when I was younger, you know. But it was painful, and I do not want to get that again.
It's and along the vaccine, the guidelines for older adults for vaccinations, there's also an RSV vaccine for the people over the age of 60 as well. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely one that I would recommend because they're going to be really susceptible to any kind of complications from RSV.
Right.
About 60 to 100,000 adults get hospitalized for RSV every year. And 6 to 10,000 of those die and have serious complications.
Wow.
That's 10% of the people who get hospitalized. That's a big number.
That is a very high number.
Yeah.
A very high number. So, you know, we really only have 2 minutes left. Time really flies.
Yeah.
Any last words to share about, like, the winter season and really how to stay healthy? I know we could take another 15 minutes for that, right?
No kidding. I think I've said it probably half a dozen times already, but wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands and there's no shortage of soap and hand sanitizer these days. It's on every shelf. Buy it and use it. If you're not feeling well, stay home and recover. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
If you would hate to be the person responsible for passing what might be a mild illness for you to something that could be a whole lot more severe. And I think the biggest thing to go home with is, you know, it's very important to vaccinate. But if you have questions about vaccines, ask your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's,
they're really the best source.
Right. And that's one thing I really want to point out in this last, you know, minute and a half is your offices are here for our community,
absolutely.
Is to be established with the primary care.
Very important.
Right?
It's very important to have a primary care provider who knows you and knows your family and knows what your situation is and knows if you're on medicines or if you have chronic illnesses or if you've had reactions to the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have charts and we keep track of those things.
Right.
But I think, you know, establishing a relationship with a primary care provider who knows what you need and knows if you come in and you look a little different,
they know that difference. I think that's a really important thing.
So if they want to schedule an appointment, what number can they call?
So for pediatrics, which is what I do, we have the Honesdale office, so 253-5838. The Waymart office is 488-9550. Our Sterling office, which is out in Lake Ariel, is 689-7565. And our Pike office down by Hemlock Farms is 775.
I know, you almost got it.
I almost got it. Oh dear.
Yeah.
775. I have to look it up.
Yes, and we will get that. And if not, they can also look on our website.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And they can call any one of those other numbers.
Any of those other offices we can schedule for you. And you can go online to wmchc.net and look up any of those offices. And adults can also use that website to look up their own primary care.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Hellstern, thank you so much for being on the show today. As always, the information you provide really is so valuable for our community.
You're very welcome.
So again, this is Carol Knier, Community Health Manager, wishing you a great day, and thank you for listening.